Hey, Misfits. Welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. Your home to all things weird and wacky, from Bigfoot and aliens to history, psychology, and everything in between. I'm your host, Steve. Just a quick reminder for all you Misfits out there, Emmy is no longer a permanent co-host of the show. She will be popping in time to time, but I'll be riding solo. So, this week I'm joined by Matt from Hops Geek News. It's a podcast that you can find on all podcast platforms, and you can also check him out on Twitter. He'll plug all his information in the episode. We have a great episode. We talk a lot about cryptids, especially from Idaho, where Matt's from. Or actually, I lied. Matt's not from Idaho, but he currently lives in Idaho. And we also break down aliens. We broke down some UFO conspiracies about what could be going on. And I think that we came up with some pretty interesting theories. Before we hop into the episode, just a few house cleaning tasks. First, make sure to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. It helps out a lot as social proof and helps the algorithm, so it really helps me out. Also, please subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. That way you never miss an episode, and it really helps me grow the show, and I really appreciate it. Finally, if you want to support the show, also consider donating money to our Buy Me a Coffee page, just Pod Misfits. It will be linked in the bio. And buy some of our sweet merch. Rachel, my co-host for episode 1 of season 2, has a Misfits and Mysteries t-shirt, and it actually looks pretty sweet, so I recommend checking it out. That will also be linked in the show notes. Finally, if you want to leave a voicemail, have you been abducted by aliens? Have you seen Bigfoot? Do you have just a scary story? Send it to me, and I'll start playing them on the show eventually when I have enough of them and I need it for a segment. So please send them in. The voicemail number is 914-627-8582. It's through Google Voice. Please send in voicemails so I can react to them and you have a chance to be featured on the show. Another quick announcement, next week I will be joined by Kelly from the Canadian Spirit podcast again. And this time it's more of an interview rather than just what Emmy and I usually do. I interview Kelly more so about his work as a paranormal investigator because I've never had one of those on the show, and I have a lot of questions about how they operate. So, hope you enjoy the show. Now for a quick word from our sponsor. All right, guys, so welcome back. I'm joined by my good friend Matt from the Hops Geek News podcast.
What up? What up? Man, I love coming here. I love talking about a change of pace, all the good stuff, UFOs, Bigfoot, spooky things. Man, I am here for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy to have you on. Today, we're going to talk about some cryptids. I think we have some Idaho-specific ones. Then we're also going to talk about the Bat Squatch and Lizard Man of Scape or Swamp. And I'm not quite sure what Matt has prepared, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I've got a couple things. Since I am in Idaho, like Bigfoot's wicked big out here. And then there's another little sea creature that's known to one of our lakes out here I'm going to hit on.
Awesome. So we actually interviewed, Jeff Meldrum?
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually interviewed Jeff Meldrum a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember we were talking about that, too. You had mentioned it, things like that.
Yeah.
Because I do listen to the show, believe it or not.
It's fine if you don't. I'm the worst. I used to listen to podcasts all the time, and then I stopped and I started producing one.
Well, it's like hard because there's so many out there, too, and it gets overwhelming at times.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I want to listen to this one.
And I hate to admit this because I know a lot of indie podcasts. Oh, listen to the thing. No, I listen to, like, Pardon My Take, and I listen to my own goddamn voice when I edit. Because I want my sports news in a comical way. And then I am forced to listen to myself talk on a mic once a week. That's enough for me. On occasion, I'll listen to other ones too, but it's just not common in my rotation anymore.
This time of year, I'm listening to like Packers podcast. And then I'm also listening to Around the NFL is another big one I listen to. Things like that. But yeah, Pardon My Take. Like, yeah. I get this time of year, it's all sports news. Like hockey, football, all that stuff, dude.
Yeah, this is the best time of year. It's when all the sports are being played simultaneously.
Exactly.
For the first time in a while, two of my teams are good. The other two are bad. The Knicks are phenomenal, and the Rangers are phenomenal, which is great.
The Knicks have surprised me a lot lately. They've built, like, out of nowhere a good team. And I actually, I miss the old school days of Patrick Ewing and stuff, so I'm cool with the Knicks being good again.
It's good for everyone. I'm just shocked that Silver or whatever, the commissioner, he rigs basketball. Why didn't he rig the lottery multiple years in a row? Because the Knicks are the biggest market. They'd make so much more money if they rigged it and we got all the good players. Like, there's no reason LeBron should have
went to Brooklyn to New York.
He should have been forced to go to New York.
Yeah.
They should have rigged it. They should have put a stipulation like the Knicks get the first overall pick, but they have to draft LeBron James that year. Like, they can't draft a random European that no one's heard of.
Yeah, right. Well, then they drafted that one dude who's on the Knicks. I can't remember. He went to Dallas, and even at Porzingis. Dallas, yeah, Porzingis. That's right. I don't know how I forgot. And then
yeah, Kristaps,
obviously a big dick and all that kind of stuff. But I don't like the Rangers. I'll admit, obviously, as a Bruins fan, I'm like, oh, the Rangers.
And I don't like the Bruins either, so that's fine.
That's fair. Like that's fair. But something we can agree on though is like I hate the Patriots.
Oh, you hate the Patriots? That's incredible.
I hate the Patriots. I hate
them so much.
And I'm from there, so it's even crazier.
Honestly, like I dislike the Patriots. So I went to college in the Northeast and then met Patriots fans, and then I'm like, wow, I really hate this team.
Most of my friends back home, I'd say about 95%, they're all Patriots fans, and they are they're just the worst. And now, of course, they have their Tom Brady Buccaneers jerseys. So
yeah. They have that victim mentality. It drives me nuts.
It's like, you guys have been good for like 20 years. Nobody's out to like, oh, it was
I mean, before we get into real stuff, I still, what I hold over them is you own the Jets, but Mark Sanchez came into Gillette and beat Tom Brady. Mark Sanchez,
who you all know for the butt fumble and all the other things. Yeah, he came in there. He beat him. He beat the Patriots. And
in the playoffs at home, no one does that.
No, not at all. You know, I actually, that team that year is like, oh, wow. I thought after that they were going to probably somehow win the Super Bowl. I don't know how. And then, of course, history as we know, but still, yeah. Like,
I'm just saying, sorry, guys, that's not a sports podcast. I promise we'll get encrypted soon. If we somehow were able to get Matthew Stafford, even though there's no other good quarterback in that draft, it was just Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Looked at it recently. If we were somehow able to get that first overall pick and got Matthew Stafford, we'd probably have like 3 or 4 Super Bowls because we had an unbelievable team, and then we would have had Matthew fucking Stafford.
Your defense hasn't been bad either. Like, the defense has never been bad. It goes to show you, like, if you have a decent quarterback, you can go and do things.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And how?
All right, so let's get into Bigfoot and other things. I'm enjoying this, but it's not a sports talk podcast. I don't want to scare people off.
Like, I came here for cryptids and stuff, and what are we talking about? The Jets? Like, look, Tom Brady, he's boogie. He's the boogeyman.
He is the boogeyman. I don't want to talk about the Jets either, but that's for different reasons. So we interviewed Jeff Meldrum, which is wild. I mean, I'm still kind of skeptical of Bigfoot's existence, but I mean, at the same time, he kind of made me believe, which is hard to do.
Yeah, I'm full on. Like, I believe I'm a big Bigfoot believer because I'm like, we don't know, right? Like, why couldn't something like this exist? I feel like
my opinion on it has always been that there probably was a Bigfoot or Bigfoot species, but 99.99% everything that's ever lived will not fossilize. And there's a good oral tradition of Bigfoot. It probably coexisted with early Paleo Americans.
Yeah.
That's my best guess. Primates need a lot of fruit to survive. What fruit grows in the Canadian tundra?
That's true. If we're talking like wooded areas, there's a lot of berries and stuff.
That is true, but then there's also
the tundra. I don't think there's anything in the tundra.
Like I said, Jeffrey Meldrum really did convince me. He brought up a good point that the habitat really perfectly matches black bears, which some level is like, oh, well, it's black bears, but it matches that perfectly because black bears eat what a Bigfoot would eat, hypothetically.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
And I know that you shared your Bigfoot story on our podcast. You called in.
Yes. Oh, man. Down in Florida, of all places, dude. Like, when I was living in Florida, like, nobody would think that Bigfoot exists down there. But the legends are there's a Bigfoot.
They're all over the place. I mean, they're sighted all over the place. It's better than the chupacabra. I don't buy them. People are like, oh, there's a chupacabra in Maine. No, there's fucking not. It's from Puerto Rico. How did it get from Puerto Rico to Maine?
The chupacabra is just some mangy coyote. To be honest, if it's in Maine, that's all I think about. It's just like, maybe it's like one of those cats that are bald, except for it's just like a coyote or something that's patches of hair is missing and shit.
I didn't do a ton of research on Bigfoot just because I feel at this point, like, we talked like the foremost experts. So like, what do I have to say about Bigfoot? Right.
I will just add in that apparently Bigfoot is in Idaho is among the top states for paranormal sightings.
Since really? I didn't know that.
I was reading an article that says, first UFOs, now Bigfoot. Idaho is among the top states for more paranormal sightings. And this is from 2020. So, I mean, it's not that long ago, July of 2020.
Only about a year ago.
Apparently, it's just one of the top places for Bigfoot sightings. That 93 reports of Bigfoot encounters are in Idaho, meaning for every 100,000 people, about 5 of them have seen or heard of a Squatch. And I kind of believe it because there's a lot of mountains. Like, there's like the part I live in near Boise where it's farmland and stuff, right? But we get a lot of mountains, like the Sawtooth Mountains. So if you go up in there, like, who knows what's in there? Because it's a lot of it's inhabitable besides cabins and things. So
yeah, I mean, it's totally possible. Like, I think there's a chance it exists. I think it's a more than 0% chance, a lot of evidence. But my one other thought is, like, when you find poop, you find animals.
You would find, like, poop or footprints. You would definitely find footprints.
Yeah, they do find footprints, but it's just the poop is what throws me off, because, like, everything poops. And it's not like they would poop inside their cave, because you don't sleep in your poop. That's how you get sick.
Bigfoot's just using the outhouse, right? He's got an outhouse built up. He's dug a hole. He buries it. He's an experienced camper.
Maybe. I mean, the other reason I'm skeptical is a lot of people, like, if you're on r/Bigfoot, it is people who are trolls. It's just full of trolls and actual believers, and it's just nonsense. I hate it so much. I've gotten bigger onto Reddit just because I think that it's interesting, especially the paranormal stuff, but holy shit. The lies that either people make up or the dumb shit they believe is unbelievable, I gotta say.
Yeah, definitely agree. There's just, oh man, Reddit is, I go down rabbit holes on Reddit all the time, dude. It's just crazy. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is unrelated to everything, but I've been looking through, like, r/aquariums, because I have this, like, idea that I want to make a complete, I mean, it's not possible fully, because not enough space in a tank, but I want to try and make, like, a pretty close to self-sufficient ecosystem in a aquarium. And just reading through the shit people saying r/aquariums, they're like, taking care of fish is harder than taking care of dogs. It's like, what? Like,
what? No, it's not, dude.
You don't have to balance your dog's pH. It's like, yeah, but I have to walk my dog, feed my dog, take my dog to the vet, all this stuff.
Yeah, geez, it's definitely not, because I feel like, yeah, you got to keep a tank clean, but a lot of that stuff for aquariums these days, it's like automatic. Yeah. You don't have to do a lot. Like, you don't have to get in there and scrub stuff most of the time. It just automatically filters it out.
I got a bunch of fish in middle school, and the guy at the Petco was like, oh, they're going to die right away because you didn't, like, let the nitrates balance out. I had these fucking fish. I swear to God, none of them died. I had them from when I was in, like, what's middle school? Like,
yeah,
8th, 7th grade until my junior year of college. And the only reason we got rid of them is because my parents were moving, and they're like, we're not taking your fish with us. We didn't kill them. We donated them to someone. So these fish, these people are like, oh, God, you balance the nitrates. I would just put the drops in, like, once a month that you're supposed to, and feed them, and, like, occasionally clean out the filter and got dirty. And these things lived like 8+ years.
Yeah. I've always, like, never personally been a fan of fish, just because it's like, what do you do with fish other than stare at them? But to say that they're harder to take care of than, like, dogs. No, no,
absolutely I'm not. Absolutely not. Anyway, do you want to hear about the this is not Idaho, but do you want to hear about the Bat Squatch?
Yeah, what's, like, hit us, because I know there's a beer called Bat Squatch, but exactly. It's named after something.
It's named after the Bat Squatch. So the Bat Squatch is a flying cryptid / microbrew IPA that was apparently sighted near Mount St. Helens right after its 1980 eruption. So it's similar to the Ahul, which longtime fans will know. We definitely know what that is. We played cryptid trivia, and Emmy was just Googling things the entire time because we don't know cryptids. We are a podcast that talks about cryptids, and we don't know what cryptids are. So it was pretty bad.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how you learn, though, at the same time, is like doing one about it, and you just research. So
exactly. We cheated at trivia. So basically, the Bat Squatch was dormant for 140 years until Mount St. Helens erupted. Then it was kind of pissed off because it was asleep for 140 years and it was woken up. And I'm not going to go into details about the eruption of Mount St. Helens because I don't really give a shit about that. I'm being quite honest. There was an awful movie that I watched in middle school. I think it was called, like, St. Helens or something. You should watch that.
I don't remember if I've seen that, but I just think of Dante's Peak all the time.
Dante's Peak. That's what I was thinking of. Dante's Peak.
Oh, dude. Yeah. With Pierce Brosnan. Filmed in Idaho, funny enough.
Really? Yeah. So Dante's Peak, that awful movie. That was, like, you got the gist of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, a volcano explodes and it takes over the town, and it is absolutely ridiculous.
Like, a scene where he's, like, walking through, like, acid rainwater. Yeah, that's, like, up to his chest, but he's not, like, melting or anything.
Or there's, like, they go into the river and it turns, like, the river or the lake or something's now
acidic. Well,
like,
eating,
like, the grandma falls in there and she's pushing the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. And isn't it, like, a wooden boat? And I'm pretty
sure it's a canoe. Yeah,
it's a canoe. And I'm pretty sure, like, different acids melt different things. I'm pretty sure it's not, like, hydrochloric acid. So I think the wood would have been safe.
Yeah. So, like, the way that it all melted. Yeah. That movie was just ridiculous.
Yeah. That was such a bad movie in a great way. So basically, so after this eruption, the Bat Squatch was awakened. And I did a little math for us, which I'll get into in a bit. So the Bat Squatch is described as a large humanoid monstrosity that's over 9 feet tall and weighs as much as 2 grizzly bears. So I did some math. So depending on if he's talking about male or female grizzly bears, it could be somewhere between 1,400 to 3,400 pounds, depending on if it's a male or female grizzly bear. And then I decided that if it's a male and a female grizzly bear combined, it would be 2,400 pounds.
That's thick.
So this thing is 9 feet tall and weighs between 1,400 and 3,400 pounds. So this thing's fucking big. It's said to have piercing yellow eyes, blue tinged dark fur, razor sharp teeth, a wolf-like muzzle, bird wings, muscular torso, and bat-like wings that span 15 feet. So it has bird and bat wings.
I just want to know like the logistics behind flying at that point, because you're like, that boy is thick.
I don't understand, because that's too heavy. The reason bat wings and bird wings work is because they're hollow and they can just fly like endlessly. Yeah.
And they can glide and all that kind of stuff. But like, this dude is makes heavy. No sense.
And he also has psychic abilities and telekinetic powers that allow it to affect man-made objects like car engines, radios, and TVs. So it has these powers, yet I couldn't find a single encounter where it uses them.
You're lucky I'm not. Or maybe he used his telekinetic powers to make them forget about them using the powers. I have no idea. Yeah.
I don't understand how we would know it as telekinetic powers, but whatever, I digress. So funny enough, the earliest sighting of a thing that allegedly first came around in 1980 was in 1994.
All right. Interesting.
I guess people have seen it, but the first story. So in April of 1994, Brian Canefield was driving in Washington's Pierce County when his vehicle suddenly stalled. Yeah, they have some weird shit. So his vehicle suddenly stalled and he got out of the car to check under the hood. Something landed on top of his car and the vehicle suspension buckled under the weight. So he's hiding behind the hood of the car and peeks around the corner and he sees a bat squatch and then he ran away. He encounters a bat squatch and runs away. And then when he got back to town, the back of his shirt was ripped up and his truck was all scratched.
I feel like the bat squatch, like if he really wanted to, could have just like, he sees this dude running away, he could have just scooped him up and like no witnesses.
But can he even fly? He's so heavy.
That's true too. Like, what's the purpose of the wings? Do you actually fly or you just like fall with style?
I have no idea. So then in 2009, near Mount Shasta in California, several hikers saw a huge creature with leathery wings fly out of a crevice in the mountain. The creature was either a bat squatch or a thunderbird.
Oh, interesting. Is a thunderbird like an actual bird or is it just like a...
So the thunderbird is like a cryptid. Based on like a Native American legend. So actually Emmy, when she was part of the show, she told us all about the thunderbird and how people allegedly claim to have been attacked by it. I guess some theories are it's a pterodactyl or like that's still around, but that seems highly unlikely.
I doubt it, yeah.
And then the other theory is a California condor.
Huh. I mean, I would lean more towards just like a giant bird, but yeah. Who knows? I mean, I feel like this one is more believable over this 4,000 pound ape with wings, basically.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So the other thing about Mount Shasta, just fun fact, is that's where the Lumerians live. I don't really remember where the Lumerians were. I think like it's allegedly this lost society of giants that like lives in Mount Shasta in like the hollow earth or some shit like that. Again, we did an episode on that. Look out for the Lumerians. If you want to learn more, I don't remember. They lived inside of Mount Shasta. That's all I recall.
This is like Godzilla's chilling down there, hanging out with them and things like that.
Yeah, pretty much. All I remember is some dude was like going to lead all these people on an expedition because apparently there was like a cavern full of gold. And then he bailed at the last minute. No one ever saw him again because it's like, fuck, my life's gone too far. Before we move on from the Bat Squatch, I want to read you a quote from a quote unquote researcher of the Bat Squatch. Quote, Bat Squatch are elusive and poorly understood cryptids with research often being directed towards Bigfoot, aka Sasquatch. Their more popular terrestrial cousin. Due to this neglect among the scientific community, the general public is largely unaware of the Bat Squatch's existence. Not only has this resulted in an entirely avoidable loss of biological and ecological knowledge, misinformation and lack of preparedness could lead to dangerous or even deadly encounters between humans and these creatures. In order to remedy this situation, an assessment of land habitability and the construction of Bat Squatch monitoring stations throughout Washington should be pursued by lawmakers as soon as possible.
All right. I see. I didn't know any of this stuff.
Do you know what GIS is?
I do not.
So GIS is Geologic Information Surveys. It is a mapping program. That's mapping program. So this guy clearly uses his resources well to map out the bat squatch. And then he gave recommendations. So I will say he did a great job using GIS. He made some great maps, but I don't buy it because you're telling me that a 9-foot ape bat with a 30-foot wingspan that flies around, that's the size of a fucking small airplane, would not be noticed constantly.
Nobody ever sees it at any point.
Yes. So allegedly there's an elusive 30-by-9-foot ape flying in the sky over Washington.
And nobody has ever seen it. He's invisible, all right? He uses his powers. Apparently, invisibility is one of them.
Yeah, that's why there's no photos of him.
Yeah, right.
And then my favorite thing ever is he tries to estimate the population of them by using the Fergus hawk, which is the biggest bird of prey in Washington. And just for reference, the Fergus hawk weighs 3.3 pounds and is 2 feet tall. So this guy's trying to estimate the range of habitability based on a bird that is 3.5 times smaller than the bat squatch and just magnitudes lighter.
Yeah. See, I don't get the logic there. Like, we're using government funds to track bat squatch and we're basing on this bird that's like a big, massive fraction of what this thing actually is.
Yeah, like you can't estimate populations with unlike things. Like, I can't be like, oh, there's like 1,000 grizzly bears in Idaho, therefore there must be 1,000 gazelles.
Or like, based off of the fact that there are 1,000 grizzly bears, we clearly have about 900 Bigfoot running around this place.
Yeah, it could hypothetically sustain 900 Bigfeet.
Yeah. I don't get the logic there, but this, of all the ones that are like to be believed, bat squatch definitely seems like it takes a big stretch of the imagination, big time.
Ignoring the bullshit psychic powers, just the fact that I'm supposed to believe that a 9-foot by 30-foot creature not only finds enough food in Washington on a daily basis to sustain itself, it also can fly around. Pounds of food do grizzly bears eat on a daily basis? Because this is two grizzly bears.
And not to mention, though, like the fact that nobody has seen it, like there's no trace left behind. There's nothing like that. It doesn't make sense. I am very interested to see. It probably has to eat like a couple hundred pounds a day at the very least.
We're going to double whatever it says. So grizzly bears will also scavenge. They eat up to 30 pounds of food per day. So this thing's eating at least 60. That's a lot of fucking food.
You would definitely notice 60 pounds of whether it's animals, berry, like something. And then like you would be able to find. Yeah, I'm not buying this one.
I'm not either. Also, there's no way that this thing scares off a grizzly bear.
No chance.
Grizzly bear would eat this thing.
I think at least two grizzly bears, but like, grizzly bears are massive themselves. Like, they would not back down. They'd probably go toe to toe and fight.
Oh, they would fight. Also, if it just broke one of its wings, then it's just like it's lopsided. It's a useless thing.
Say they did fight, and you'd probably find a dead grizzly bear torn up by something that you don't normally know what it would be.
It's just not true.
I'm not buying this one.
Not at all. All right, want to tell me about something that you found out about Idaho? Hit me with the cryptid.
Yeah, so there is a town called McCall. It's probably about 2 hours north of Boise. It's kind of up in the Payette National Forest, things like that. It's a nice town. So they have what is called, they have like their own basically Loch Ness monster on Payette Lake. It's called Charlie. So this comes straight from the visitmccall.org website. In 1944, a group of people near the Narrows saw a creature, describing it as at least 35 feet long, with a dinosaur-type head, pronounced jaw, humps like a camel, and shell-like skin. This dramatic account propelled the story into national headlines, and the serpent hunters began to frequent the tranquil area to snap a photo of the creature, or even capture it outright. An article published in the nationally distributed Time magazine in August of 1944 reported that 30 people had seen the periscope-shaped head of the creature that they called Slimy Slim since July 2nd of that year. In 1946, 20 people in a group reported seeing the creature. Dr. G.A. Taylor of Nampa stated that it appeared to be 40 feet long and seemed to keep diving down into the watery depths. He also said that it felt like a wake, like a small motorboat. By 1954, many people had reported sightings of Slimy Slim, and residents decided their local monster needed a better name. A. Boone McCallum, editor of the Star News, held a national contest, and the winning entry was submitted by Lyle Hennifer Turry of Springfield, Virginia. Everyone's got crazy names in this story.
Yeah.
In her letter to the Star, she wrote, "Why don't you name him Charlie? You know, like Vasudu, Vasudare? I don't know what she's trying to say, Charlie, but all right." It was a reference to a one-liner used by Jack Pearl in a popular radio show, and regular sightings have been reported over the years, but no official evidence of Charlie has been offered up. Regardless, the residents of McCall need no proof to know that she, yes, Charlie is it, she is real, and the legend continues to grow. I've gone up to this lake many times, and I've never once seen this creature.
Yeah, so lake monsters are so interesting. You get them all the time, like all over the place. New York has multiple. We have, there's Chessie. No, Chessie's the Chesapeake Bay. I'm lying. There's Champ, who lives in Lake Champlain. Then New York also has Old Greeny. He is in the Finger Lakes, I want to say.
Okay.
And then we have at least one or two more I can't think of. So the ones that are in landlocked lakes, I don't fully buy. But any sea monster, it's true until proven otherwise, because we haven't explored all the ocean and giant squids exist.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I fully. So it depends. So I guess with like the Great Lakes, I feel like they're massive enough and they're probably deep enough that, yeah, maybe something like that could exist, because who's to say that something just didn't live there and evolve from the times like where their waters and all that kind of stuff, like the rivers reached there. But I'm more apt to believe definitely sea creatures out that are out in the ocean, because we don't know what the hell is out there. We have not been able to map the entire ocean, and we're still finding creatures to this day. And then, giant squid definitely exists.
The stuff that lives in the bottom of the ocean is so like science fiction, batshit crazy. That's like, you're telling me that a giant sea monster couldn't exist? I don't think we've ever seen a giant squid alive in the wild.
I think
that might have changed by now, but for most of
there was a video at some point. There might have been a video. I'm not entirely
sure. Oh, have you seen? I don't like to plug Joe Rogan's podcast, but do you know, like Forrest Galantis?
I don't.
He's a really cool guy. Like, I watch Joe Rogan when he has cool people on. He's like a South African dude who spent his entire life with animals in nature. And he has a show on Animal Planet where he just searches for animals that have been deemed extinct and that aren't actually. And his job is basically to find animals that.
Oh, wait. Is he the dude who does like the strange encounters or whatever like that?
I don't think so. Because it's not like, oh, like I'm looking for like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. He's like, yeah, well. It's like animals that have been recently deemed extinct. He like goes into the jungles to try to find them. So they're talking. I can try and find the photo for you, but there's this photo of this like squid off the coast of Oil Rig. And it looked like, you know, in War of the Worlds, it looks like a War of the Worlds monster. I will find it for you.
Dude, I haven't heard of that, but I know like, I'm pretty sure there's like a video of some giant squid next to like a submarine or a boat at some point. But also I could be just making that up. And it was like,
let's see here. I'm gonna copy in the chat for you real quick. All right, so look at this thing. This one's from Reddit, but it's a real thing. I've seen it from more credible sources, don't worry.
Oh, that thing is, it's like kind of the alien face, man. That thing is huge.
They caught this on an offshore oil rig.
Weird.
It looks just like an alien. That's just a squid of some sort.
Yeah, it does. Oh,
it's like it's 26 feet long, found November 2007 by an oil rig 200 miles off the coast of Houston, Texas.
Weird.
Yeah.
I believe it. I mean, well, who's to say that with all the oil, maybe like oil spills or something out there, what if it's mutated some creatures?
It looks like an alien. It looks like an alien with like a marionette string attached to the bottom of it.
Yeah, it does.
The ocean scares me so much.
Well, I'm terrified of the ocean personally, because it's so massive and we don't know what's out there. And there's like, there's definitely crazy creatures out there.
Oh, I mean, this thing is a real life living creature.
Yeah. And so you got like stuff like that. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's fucking like Cthulhu out there.
I will say there are a few other things that I have found for Idaho as well. So there's like the Nimerigor. I don't really know how to pronounce that, but the Shoshone tribe tells of a race of little people that were mysterious and dangerous. Some may know them as mountain dwarves that could be found in the Wahee Mountains and the Wind River and Pedro Mountains in Wyoming. The name is derived from native languages and designates them as cannibals, connecting them to many gruesome tales that come out of Native American folklore. They were said to help feed their people by taking heavy rocks to the skulls of the tribe members who would not or could not contribute to the group. They're about 2 to 3 feet tall and had a row of sharp canine teeth, wielded poisonous arrows, shot from tiny little bows, and would often raid and make war on the other tribes.
That's weird. Interesting. There's a lot of like stories of little, not like little people, but like little like tribes
and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, pygmies, like all over. I mean, there's an interesting one I talked about a while ago. Like, do you know like about the moon-eyed people in South Carolina?
No, I don't. So,
this is like a real wild one. So basically, there's these Native American legends of these quote unquote moon-eyed people who are these short white people, like a short white tribe that spoke. I'm not gonna spoil it till the end. So they spoke a weird language, let's say they weren't used to. These short white people, they would build these forts and walls all around the place, which is like weird because Native Americans didn't do that. Right. And allegedly these people became nocturnal because they lived in like caves for so long. So they'd only come out at night to build their walls and like wage war. And there's like all these accounts of this. And then eventually, I think it was the Cherokee Nation, I want to say, just like, fuck this. And like kept and pushed them out into like the Kentucky area.
Yeah.
And I guess they died out. And turns out that this is already the Cliff Notes version, but basically there's this account from a Welsh prince. So the Welsh landed in South Carolina a long time before Columbus did.
Yeah.
And there was this landing party that got lost. So there's this unexplained tribe that exists today that speaks a mix, like a language that's weird. It's like sort of a mix of Welsh and the native language. And they're all really light skinned. So the theory is that the moon-eyed people actually existed and were just the remnants of this Welsh tribe that got lost in the woods.
That's interesting. That is, yeah. See, I buy that. I buy stuff like that. I guess I'd probably buy this one too. Like, could you imagine getting killed by like a bunch of 2 foot tall little creatures?
Oh no, that'd be embarrassing.
Like, it'd be I'm 6'4", so like that'd be awful. They just nip at my ankles like little chihuahuas.
They can cut your like Achilles and you go down.
Yeah, right. Like that's a horror movie in their own.
Oh my god, I know, but it's so interesting how they have this. I know, like in the Adirondacks, they have something like that. They're friendly though. I think they're just like cause mischief. Even in like across the world, like I know in Mexico. They have the duende.
Mm-hmm.
They have like all sorts of like trolls and stuff and goblins, not goblins, trolls and
like gnomes.
Gnomes, stuff like that. Yeah, all over the world. So it's interesting that happens. And then do you know about like in the Philippines? Do you know about the Homo floresiensis? I think.
Sounds familiar, maybe.
It might not be floresiensis. I might be getting my hominins mixed up, but the Hobbit man. So there are all these stories in the Philippines of these hobbit men, and we've legit just found the fossils of them like decades ago. Yeah. There was a species of hominins. They weren't really humans because they're our relatives that coexisted with the people in the Philippines. And they were like, they weren't dwarves. They were just short. They were just like 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And
weird.
Yeah. So I would be really curious to see how much of like that is going on.
Dude, like, that would be that would be my worst nightmare too. Like, fuck. Like I said, getting like a bunch of 3 foot tall things just beating you down. Because in your mind, you'd be like, oh, they're coming after me. You can like kick these things away, but they got like poison arrows and like it's crazy.
Yeah, they're not like children.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's just crazy. Like just to think about, like we coexisted with other hominin species for so long. It's just crazy to think about, like, what if, like, Neanderthals were still around? What if the Denisovians were still around? Like, how weird would that be?
I mean, then maybe that's, like, I guess that's kind of what Bigfoot, in a way, is. It's, like, an old Neanderthal, but, like...
I don't think it's Neanderthal, but... Because Neanderthals aren't native to North America, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think, but maybe they somehow got stuck here while Pangea was a thing. Like, I don't know.
It's so fascinating. I mean, I think that's the real fascination with Bigfoot is everyone's like, we want them to still be around, you know, we still want to have like hominin relatives.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy that we're the ones that evolved. Like, what if a different one did?
Yeah. Who's to say, like, I don't know why it's so hard for us to be like, no, it's just us out here evolving when like life in general evolves. When, you know, everything evolves.
I mean, yeah. So like, they don't even call like the early days, there's no such thing as a Homo sapien until like more recently. Like they just call them anatomically modern humans because we all looked so different, but we were similar enough. And we like interbred with each other, the Denisovians, the Neanderthals, and then whatever other ones we don't know about. And like we have all this DNA we don't potentially know about, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's bizarre, and like we're finding stuff every single day and things like that, and it just blows our mind. This is why I believe that aliens are a thing.
Oh yeah,
because it's like there's no way we're the only living creatures.
So I'm 100% on the alien train, but just going off topic, conspiracy theory realm. I just had this thought the other day. So I don't fully believe in UFOs, and I believe in them even less now because I just had a thought. The U.S. government, we have the most powerful military on the planet, and all of a sudden we're leaking all these UFO docs, and they're like, yeah, we have no idea what these are. The Air Force 100% knows exactly what they are.
Oh, they definitely know what they are.
Because I would be willing to bet the options are either like it's not alien. I think that we have some crazy fucking technology. Oh, yeah. And they're like, what's the best way to distract people from finding out about it? The best way to do it is to be like, we don't know what the hell this is. I'd be willing to bet all those people are briefed to be like, yeah, actually, I bet they don't know what it is. Cause like, I know what the B-52 bomber was a secret until it wasn't anymore, until it started flying over every football game. You're in the military, so you've seen a B-52, right?
Yeah, I've seen all the planes, the B-2, yeah. B-50, all that. And when I was at one location, they were working on like lasers and stuff that could fire from planes. So we've got that technology as well. I am fully on board with the fact that they know exactly what most of this is. And most of the UFOs that we see are them just testing technology.
I think that most UFOs are just B-52s. Like, if you've seen those at night, it is a UFO, literally, because you have the red light on the front and then the two wings. I only know this because we have a house in Vermont, and where we are, they fly over the Manchester Air Force Base, flies over to test runs, practice flights. So I've seen them all the time. And most, not everyone, but a lot of the quote unquote UFO sightings have a red dot here, here, and here, which is literally just a stealth bomber.
Well, yeah. And we also have the technology for planes to like hover and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Too. I mean, so that's the other thing. Like, because was it the Harrier jets? Those were
that and the F-35. They're able to
land. They can go up, down, left, right. I know they don't have like great fuel efficiency, but I can do that.
But still, like, we have the technology to like hover things. So who's to say that like it isn't a plane that's just hovering there and then like takes off to see how, like, you know?
I also think Bob Lazar is a plant. Think about it. He has all these credentials that just magically vanished when he started speaking out, right?
Yeah.
What's the best way to distract people from what's actually going on than to have a guy? Or maybe he thinks, or maybe he saw fake shit and they're like, let's just go after this guy.
Distracts him, yeah.
Because I mean, that's not beyond what we've done as a country.
No, well, we've done some really crazy messed up things. So I perfectly believe that. Like, yeah, make him the fall guy, make him think he's crazy, or, you know, maybe he saw some weird stuff, or go out here and spread things to distract really from what's going on.
Yeah, I was reading something recently. So you know what MK Ultra is, and everyone's like, oh. So apparently the CIA knew that it was fake and they were just doing it to freak out Russia and make them waste money on the same projects. Like, they knew well in advance that they couldn't actually control people's minds or anything. Apparently the CIA is like, yeah, we just like made this leak. So everyone's like, holy shit, they're doing mind control. It's just like, yeah, like, I mean, they did fuck around with like some LSD shit, but I think they figured out pretty early on they couldn't use mind control and they couldn't get telekinesis or anything.
Ultimate troll job.
Yeah. So they literally like, well, if we just like plant this seed and have this misinformation, Russia is going to waste resources on this.
Yeah. I mean, and they definitely did. Oh, I believe that. I'm on board with that one.
And the alternative, which is scarier, is that these things were made by China or Russia. And they're like, well, we don't want to let them know that our enemies have this capability and we don't. So it's aliens.
Yeah, I buy into that. That's one I'd buy into big time.
I believe aliens 100% exist. I'm super, super doubtful that they have UFOs.
And I highly doubt they're messing around here because they're way more advanced than us. So like, why would they waste their time with us?
I mean, it's also possible that we are currently the most advanced thing out there and everything's like playing catch up. Because we don't know, for all we know, we're the first we're the first things to exist. Maybe things started way later than us.
Yeah, that's also really true. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting to think about, but yeah, there's no way the vastness of space that it's just us out here.
I think they found like bacterial life on Venus, or they. I got to follow up on that at some point. But back in 2020, when we started the podcast, actually, they had just discovered signs of bacterial life on Venus.
Yeah, and they're finding like bacterial stuff on Mars even now with like the water and stuff like that. So
My biggest concern, though, is that they're talking about like bringing it back here to analyze it, and that's a terrible idea. Why are we going to bring alien bacteria to Earth?
That's how every movie starts.
Yeah,
every
that's going to be like this. If you thought COVID was bad, wait until you get Venus 19.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that's my concern with that is like,
yeah,
let's not bring the alien bacteria here, or we should at least like try killing the antibiotics first and just in space. I'm like, okay, we can kill this thing, no problem.
Yeah, learn that you can kill it just in case it goes crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure just like a quick penicillin shot will save everyone.
Yeah, right. But say going back, I just have one more for
Idaho stories,
and this is the last one that I found. So water babies. Certain stories of these ghostly beings from Pocatello, Massacre Rocks, and other areas near that region of Idaho. This one tells of a tribe enduring tribulation and famine. A handful of mothers, driven mad by the hardship, set their children afloat on the nearby streams and rivers, intending to give their babies a kinder fate than starvation. But as legend has it, the babies never drowned. They adapted and survived, learning to swim and breathe from the local water, breathe water from local wildlife, growing scales, fins, gills, and tails. They learned to eat fish, bugs, tadpoles, and all sorts of undesirable creatures. And they grew up, and when they did, they remembered the deeds their mothers did and deemed them wicked. The water babies were then taken by evil spirits in their anger and desire for vengeance, and they began to thirst for blood of living people. And apparently you can see them along streams and stuff like that out here. So
have you seen one before? Interesting.
I have not yet.
Matt, you can be the field reporter. Go to every stream and
start going out there. Yeah, like no water babies here.
You can bring one of your kids as bait. It's like, I can't feed you. I'm gonna put you in the water.
I'm gonna put you in the water. Here you go.
That could work. That's interesting. I feel like that's more like folktale-y than cryptid-y, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the other thing I have, like, other issue I have with the internet is everyone tries to make things like a literal cryptid.
Yeah.
It's like some of these things are folklore. The one that drove me the most nuts is a while ago, I did research on Inuit folklore, and there was this tribe of people called the Tunit. Mm-hmm. And the Tunit, that was like what the Inuits called them in their legends. The Tunit were real people. So these are real human beings. They weren't like a different species of hominids, they're human beings. And people on like the cryptid wiki or whatever had the audacity to call these things cryptids. These were real human beings. That's so disrespectful. Just because they're not like us.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because we're native Canadians doesn't mean that we can just like decide that they don't exist in our imaginary unseen creatures. Like, that's messed up, man.
I know, for real. Like, they don't look like me, so it's obviously a cryptid.
It's a cryptid. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck, man? You can't do that. So finally, we're going to close out with South Carolina's Lizard Man of Ore Swamp. Escape Ore Swamp. I don't know why I never say the escape part. It's a terrible name. So this is nothing to do with Idaho. I just found the Bat Squatch and this Lizard Man, so I figured it was worth going over.
Perfect. Let's do it.
So in 1988, a young man got a flat tire one night while driving home near Escape Ore Swamp. When he got out of his car to change a tire, a creature emerged from the shadows. The creature was 7 foot tall, green, wet, with three fingers, red eyes, and scales.
Swamp thing.
And then there's not much else to the story. I assume he survived.
I guess if he told the story of this thing.
Oh, no, sorry, I missed it. So, never mind. The man scrambled into his car and drove away, and the creature attacked his car. Sorry, I missed that part.
It always ends with them attacking the car and then always somehow getting away.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I did some digging, and lizards typically don't have red eyes. That's, not a very common thing. The ones that do have red eyes have, red patches, but their eyes aren't fully red. They still have a black pupil in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very rare for lizards to have red eyes, so just pointing that out there, maybe it's not a lizard man.
Maybe not. The guy probably was on a bunch of acid or something like that, to be fair.
Maybe it was man lizard.
True. True. Maybe he just got done reading a Spider-Man comic and that's where he's getting lizard.
Killer Croc.
From. Yeah.
So after the incident, reported there are a lot of sightings. And actually the first sighting occurred earlier in 1998 in Browntown, South Carolina, when the police responded to a call from a couple whose car had been mauled, scratched, and beaten by some kind of animal. They found reddish colored hair and muddied footprints all over the car, as well as a chewed and mangled chrome trim.
Interesting. But
lizards don't have hair.
No, they don't.
So I don't know if that's a lizard man who did this.
It definitely sounds like it's like a lizard man sort of thing that's been I don't even know because of his hair and red eyes.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and send you this picture. Then 2015, someone took a photo of the lizard man. And I swear to God, it's literally nothing.
We have like these nice cameras these days and we still get furry, you know, fuzzy footage of Bigfoot.
It makes no sense. Oh my God. Someone wrote a erotic novel called I Married a Lizard Man.
It looks like a tree stump.
Yeah, it looks like it's part of the tree. That's the lizard man.
Yeah, you can't really see anything. Yeah, there's nothing there. People are crazy. Yep. It just is part of the tree. Like, that happens to be shaped kind of like a human, but...
Somewhat humanoid, yeah. So that's the lizard man. It wasn't too exciting, but I wanted to research it just in case.
Yeah.
Like the Loveland Frogman. You know about that one?
I don't.
I'll give you a quick Cliff Notes version. So basically, some guy who I assume was like high out of his mind saw a 6 foot tall frog walking on two legs holding a wand. And he is like, fuck that, and booked it. And ever since then, in Loveland, people see have claimed to see it. A police officer claimed to have seen the Loveland Frogman and shot it, but he ended up just shooting someone's pet iguana.
Jesus, what the, oh my, that's on brand for the cops, I guess. Yeah. That's on brand.
If you want to learn more, you can listen to the episode we talked about it. That's the two facts I remember, is that it's a giant frog. Oh, and someone made like a claim to have seen it while playing Pokemon Go, and it was like, it was literally, as Emmy described it, it literally was like a wet pickle that someone had filmed a video of and claimed it was the Loveland Frogman.
That sounds about right too.
Yeah. So I think we're going to wrap up now, guys. Thank you so much, Matt. Feel free to plug your show and anything you want to plug.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you coming on. I'm always down to come here and chat. And you can just find us, Hops Geek News, search Hops News on all podcast platforms and look for anything with geeks and follow us on Twitter. Look for us.
Yeah, you're just what, Hops Geek News on Twitter?
Yeah, just search Hops Geek News and you'll find us. And I'm out there just acting a fool and whatnot on Twitter.
I enjoy interacting with you on Twitter. So it's a great follow.
It is.
Make sure to check out their show, and I'm too lazy to record the outro later, so you're gonna be part of it. So thank you guys for listening. This is a great episode. Please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're using and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. We're just Misfits and Mysteries on Podchaser. And if you're already listening on Apple Podcasts, you know where to find us. Leaving a 5-star review really helps the show, so we really appreciate it. And subscribing, make sure you never miss an episode. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @podcast_misfits. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, stay spooky.